Sitting, a DC comic verse, Batman universe, general fanfic by Hearts Logos for an exorcist. Sometimes there are injuries that take a little longer to get up from, injuries that take a bit of forced rest and refuse to be ignored. Tim has one of these such injuries. He has a broken leg. It's not really unusual, it really isn't. Everyone gets a leg or foot injury at some time or the other. The point is that Tim has to sit and be still, and it's just a little bit annoying. So Tim sets himself up in one of the libraries, back pressed into the curve of a sofa arm, cast stretched out in front of him, and propped up on a pillow. He has a stack of books he is meant to read. Latest teen novel hits, some old classics, stuff like that. He's pretty sure that Alfred slipped in 50 Shades of Grey, but he's a little scared to look. He has an endless supply of tea, and there's a television in his chosen place of enforced rest. Tim settles in for some long, long hours before hobbling back to his room for the night and repeating the process tomorrow. What he does not account for is the fact that, regardless of whether he's able to escape or not, his siblings will continue to hunt him down and do what they will. Tim really regrets that. Tim has just started working his way through A Clockwork Orange when Cass slinks into the room and sits with her back against the armrest opposite from where Tim is sitting. Tim glances up. "Should I ask?" Cass hums. He can barely see the top of her head. He's about 10 more pages in when he feels eyes on him. He looks up to see Cass, her chin hanging off the armrest, slight pout to her mouth. Tim closes the book, finger between the pages to hold his place. "So?" Cass's lips curl. "Use your words. I'm not a psychic." She rolls eyes before disappearing back over the edge. "Bruce frustrates me." "Bruce frustrates everyone. Is there anything he's frustrated you with in specific recently that's caused your sulk?" "I don't want to go to Hong Kong." He hears the sound of Cass's fingers tapping against the floor. "Why can't you go to Hong Kong, Superboy?" Tim grimaces. "Please tell me that no one's told Khan about that yet." Cass snorts. He can almost feel her eye roll. Tim waits for her to talk some more. "I barely speak English good enough." "Well enough. Whatever. Same thing." "There's something to be said for appearances. I'm not saying that it's overly practical or even good move on his part, but, well, you do look the part, somewhat, and it's important for this to look like it's a global measure, not just a white man's burden kind of thing." Cass glares at him over the armrest. Looks like she wants to punch him in the thigh. Tim waves his hand in defense. "I'm not saying it's good reasoning. I'm just saying that he's tried to reason. So don't try to kill him. Just, only kill him a little bit?" The woman stares at him for a long moment before she grins, laughs, and settles back against the sofa. "Read to me." "Excuse you," Tim huffs. "You have any preference?" "What are you reading?" Tim stares down at the book. "It's a little, out there. Are you reading 50 Shades of Grey?" "Oh my God, Cass." Tim picks up Cloud Atlas and threatens to throw it at her head. Cass' laughter is light when it flows through the room. Midway through the morning, Tim has moved on from A Clockwork Orange and is powering through the Maze Runner trilogy because if Dylan O'Brien is going to be in it, Tim's going to see it. That being said, Tim may or may not have a certain weakness for dystopias. If Tim wasn't facing the door, he's pretty sure he would have missed seeing Damien sulking in, headphones on and a fierce scowl on his face. Before Tim can say anything, Damien glares at him. "Shut up, Drake. Since no one wants to be around you, I assume that it's quietest here." Damien then sulks around, staring at some of the bookshelves, the TV, then drops himself in front of the sofa by Tim's book stack and pulls his hood over his head. Tim sighs and resumes reading, occasionally checking to see that Damien hasn't pulled a knife or something. The brat would take this as the perfect opportunity to challenge Tim or something. Tim's worked through the second book in the trilogy and has expected Alfred to drop in any minute when Damien speaks up. "How in the world do you deal with Grayson?" I think it's less of a matter of dealing and more of a matter of accepting, Tim replies. Is there a reason why you're asking me? You've been here the longest. Technically, that would be B. Or Alfred. The longest of the children. Damien says the word like it's a disease. Tim rolls his eyes. That would be Jason. Todd is even worse at dealing with Grayson than I am. You make it sound like a sport or something. It involves enough running and body contact. Damien crosses his arms, digging the toe of his sneaker into the floor. He is exuberant. That's just how Dick is, Tim reminds the boy. Dick is just out there like that. He keeps teasing me. In a good way. It's not malicious, I assure you. Why does he call me Little D? It's a nickname. But why? Well, he's Dick. You're Damien. Big and little. Tim shrugs. Trust me, Damien. Dick is never malicious on purpose. He doesn't take active pleasure in hurting people for the sake of hurting them. Damien is quiet again before he asks. What does he call you? Timmers. But if you try and use it, I'll throw you into the ball pit at McDonald's and convince Dick to jump in after you. Damien turns around to scowl at him. Tim smiles. Sometimes I don't know who is worse, you or Kane. I'll take that as a compliment. Damien slips out just before Alfred comes in with Tim's lunch. Though Tim is pretty sure that he can hobble his way to eat with the others, it's probably even good exercise and a soft, busy morning, isn't it, Master Timothy? Indeed, Tim answers, taking a sip of some orange juice. You think they have radar or something? I swear it's like they have homing devices. Alfred doesn't dignify that with a response other than a pat on Tim's head. Do rest up, Master Timothy. It is quite loud without you. Tim is midway through finishing his salad when Jason literally bursts into the room, slamming the window open and crawling in before flopping down on the floor next to the sofa. Hi, Tim says, staring down at the older man, book held to his chest. This house is filled with assholes, Jason declares, hand dragging down his face. No, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Tim tentatively opens the book again, after casting a forlorn look at his salad. It has ranch dressing. Okay, ranch. Do you understand how much Tim has had to put on the blacklist in the process of controlling his diet? Ranch dressing. Jason is quiet for all of one paragraph before he begins talking again. But if I were to talk about it, I'd start by saying how much of a control freak Bruce is. No surprise there, but how ridiculously optimistic Dick is and how, Damien is. Also, Cass is like this pool of zen, and it's really not fair. Jason then proceeds to rant for about 15 minutes, complete with hand gestures and rawr noises. Tim is torn between trying to hobble away to safety and reaching down to pat Jason's knee. Jason reaches up to tug at Tim's ankle, the one on the uninjured leg, for emphasis sometimes. You get me, Tim? Yes, Jason, I get you. Good. Reject Robin's gotta stick together. Jason nods to himself. Tim rolls his eyes and pushes Jason's burst of chatter into the background. They end up reading together for a bit, Jason flipping through a few pages of most of the books in Tim's red stack, then turning on the TV and channel surfing. Why did you climb in through the window? Tim asks while Jason frowns at the TV, torn between Kitchen Nightmares and Pawn Stars. Why wouldn't I climb through the window? Jason counters. Dick was hovering outside the door, and I didn't want to argue with him. Tim translates that to, if Dick saw me, there would have been a fight, and I probably would have broken something and got Alfred pissed. Okay, Tim yawns, settling back against the sofa for a quick nap. Sweet dreams, baby bird. When Tim wakes up, Jason's jacket is draped over his chest. It smells like gunpowder, cigarettes, and oddly enough, chocolate cake. And Dick is, in his face, frowning at him. I'm gonna get a complex, Tim mumbles, pulling Jason's jacket up over his face. Maybe he's still sleeping, and when he opens his eyes again, Dick won't be right there. You have bags under your eyes. You're on bed rest. How do you have bags under your eyes? Dick asks, tugging at Tim's hair. You've been sneaking into the cave behind Alfred's back, haven't you? Admit it, Timmers. Don't make me hide in the closet to try and catch you in the act. If I was sneaking into the cave, what makes you think that you'd be able to catch me? Tim isn't sneaking into the cave. He's got the cave hooked up to the tablet he has wedged into the space between his mattress and headboard. Dick sighs, loud and just that side of obnoxious, before Tim hears the TV turn on to Pokemon, of all things. Tim lowers the jacket, tucking the collar around his neck, and settles in to watch Mewtwo and his army of clones. Dick reaches up and tangles their fingers together. I hope you get better soon, handsome. Dick sighs as they watch Ash and his friends dive into the water to swim their way to Mewtwo's Islands of Misfit. It's boring without someone to understand my particular brand of humor. Tim hums, squeezing Dick's hand. Maybe that's a sign to take your current one out to pasture and find a new one. Dick snorts. Just get better soon, okay? Okay. Tim kind of dozes off after Dick gets up to eat dinner, because short of having a broke leg like Tim, everyone eats at the table. Everyone. And when he wakes up, it's dark out. His mouth has that funny taste from sleeping too long, and he idly wonders if everyone else is out at patrol yet, and is it safe for him to hobble back to his room and start syncing to the cave server. Tim is still mostly asleep. At least, that's the excuse he'll use when he nearly jumps into the air when a hand lands on his shoulder. How are you feeling? Like I just choked on my heart and swallowed it? Tim twists around to see Bruce standing there. This sort of upturn to his mouth that Tim's long labeled as the I don't know what to do with these strange feelings you give me, you strange creature. I think my heart is growing. Tim is pretty sure that everyone else has labeled that particular smile with a similar name. At least Jason has, because once when he was high on pain meds and rambling, he kind of started rambling in Bruce's direction about get that dumb look off your face. Yeah, you. I mean, you. That dumbass smile that's like, oh no, I'm feeling things. How do I cope with these feels that aren't cravings for justice? Tim has a copy of that security footage hidden away where no one will ever see it. He plans on giving it to Bruce for Father's Day. Bruce trails off. How's your leg feeling? It's okay. Tim wiggles his toes. I don't feel like I'm in crippling pain. Get it? Crippling? Bruce squints at him. Why do you have bags under your eyes? Have you not been sleeping well? I sleep fine. And Dick is such a tattle. You really shouldn't believe him. Tim flaps the sleeves of Jason's jacket at Bruce. Half the things he says are lies. Or hyperboles. Gosh darn those hyperboles. Tim. Alfred can tell you that I go to my room every night, not to emerge until morning, to haul myself off to my library of solitude, like some doomed creature. Is that so? I've heard that your library of solitude isn't very solitary. Dick is an obnoxious little tattle. You should probably do something to fix that. Bruce holds up Tim's tablet, quirks a brow. Maybe you should work on taking the term bed rest seriously. Technically, Tim begins as he makes a grab for his crutches, I am in a bed. It's just that my eyes are open and my higher level thought processes are still running. Tim, Bruce sighs, setting the tablet down out of Tim's reach. Damn. I'm going to help you to your room, and you're going to sleep. And if you don't sleep, I will take drastic measures. Drastic? Tim stares up at him as Bruce hands him his crutches. Jason has always wanted to try reading someone a bedtime story, and Dick thinks he's missing out on not being able to tuck Damien into bed. Bruce replies. Tim's eyes widen. Cassandra has been considering exploring the rituals of singing someone to sleep, and I'm sure that Damien has always wanted to try putting someone to bed. Tim gapes. Bruce's eyes twinkle. They twinkle. You play dirty, Tim whispers as Bruce shepherds him out of the room. So dirty. The end. If you've liked the story, please leave feedback to the author at archiveofourown.org/works/813671. Thanks for listening.